At the start of a new year, it is a common thing for people to decide to make a New Year's resolution. I wonder if you've done that. I wonder if you have thought to yourself, there are certain things that I do or do not do, and you think to yourself, I really must do something about that, and so I will resolve to do something about it. And you might make a definite, clear and specific plan. What resolution have you made for this coming year? Some people think that perhaps they eat too much and should cut down. As a result, they are overweight and decide that they need to lose some weight. Other people decide that they are going to, for example, read the whole Bible in the course of the year. And I mentioned last week about the Bible reading plan that is on the church website. And you can download that and you can seek to follow through. For some people, it turns out to be a bit too much. For other people, you think, well, I've finished it after 6 months. Start again. It's a good resolution to have. But we should also be resolving to restrain ourselves from sin, put off sin, and to put on righteousness. So as we approach this new year, this year ahead, what kind of resolutions are we making? Indeed, why do we make resolutions? Well, the turning of the year, the turning of the calendar, entering into a new year, gives us an opportunity to reflect and to think to ourselves, what are we like? What personal habits do we have? What things do we do that we wish we didn't do? What things do we wish we did that we don't? In saying that we are making a resolution, or even thinking about making a resolution, we are expressing a dissatisfaction with ourselves, a dissatisfaction with sin, with our tardiness, a dissatisfaction with our growth in grace, our dissatisfaction with how we relate to God and how we live for God and how we make better known the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. So these are things where we are acknowledging that we are not quite right. We are not good enough. There are things about ourselves we wish we could change. One thing we can say with certainty is that whatever resolution we make, willpower alone will not achieve it. So we should ask ourselves the question, is it wise to make any resolutions, knowing that because of sin within, we might fail? We also need to consider whether we are doing it on the basis of legalism, thinking that by making a resolution, God will somehow approve of us. God will think the better of us. All such thinking should be driven from our minds. We cannot ingratiate ourselves to God. We cannot make ourselves thought better of by God because we are sinners. God sees us if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and our righteousness is to be found in him. But for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we seek to grow in grace, and we grow because of grace. We know we grow in grace because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. One thing to always remember is what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Sin shall have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Now, some people in hearing that think to themselves, oh, that means we are completely freed from sin. No, we are still sinners. We still fall into sin. We still fail. Some people think we do not need to worry about sin. Sin has no dominion over you because you are not under law but under grace. And people think that means license. That means you can live as you like. It does not matter. But as I've said so often in the past, when someone says that a Christian could live as they like, because they are not under law but under grace, My answer is, you are absolutely correct. A Christian can live as they like, but then you have to ask the question, how does a real Christian like to live? A real Christian does not say, oh, because I'm not under law but under grace, I can sin and get away with it. No, that's not what it means at all. It means now that I am freed from sin, I can be godly. And that is what a true Christian desires, to be godly and to live a godly life. Sin no longer is our master. Now righteousness is our master. We are no longer slaves of sin. We are slaves of righteousness. And because of what God has done for us in saving us from our sins, we now seek to obey God in all that he requires of us. So grace is never an enemy of effort on our part. Rather, grace is what empowers us to be godly, to put off sin, and to walk in righteousness. But we have to always remember the fact of indwelling sin. And so we need always to remind ourselves, whenever we think we are doing well, always to bear in mind the conflict within. In Romans chapter 7, verses 13 to 25, this section that is often referred to as the struggle. Some people talk about this being the carnal Christian. Some people say this is, in fact, an unbeliever. Some people say this is a person in the course of being converted. But who is the man of Romans 7? Because here you have a conflict. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. This is the fourth question, the fourth objection that Paul raises in chapters 6 and 7. And you have to read these two chapters with that in mind. There are four objections Paul raises and four objections he answers. This is the fourth objection. So the objection is, that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. And Paul explains why. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. How often have you had the experience that you have been tempted into sin, and you think, why did I do that? I didn't want to do that at all. But you did it. You do the very thing you hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. There is still indwelling sin. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing, because it's easier. We get tempted to do that which is easy instead of doing that which is hard. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, if we look to ourselves, if we look at sin within, it will always be gloomy and depressing. But Paul finishes off by saying, thanks be to God. It is not because of me that I am saved. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Believers have a desire always to do good, but indwelling sin trips us over time and time again. So merely having good intentions is insufficient. The law is able to reveal to us sin within, but the law cannot help us defeat it. It is grace within, the grace of God working in us, that results in us being able to overcome sin. So we must not be overconfident and think, well, now I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can resist sin. Well, overconfidence is foolish, because if we think that, we will very rapidly trip over. And then an underestimation of the power of sin. Sin is powerful. Sin is tempting. Sin is attractive. But we need to recognise that sin is sin, and we need to avoid sin as much as we are able. So thanks be to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one who delivers us from sin. So if you have made a resolution, be aware that sin will undermine that resolution, and you might find yourself, it's so easy to break that resolution. And it's only grace that will help you to pursue that resolution, assuming that you have made one. Well, what does Paul also say concerning making any kind of resolution? We need to do what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. We need a change in direction. We need to put off. But Paul doesn't stop there. So many people think it's negative to say, don't do that. Paul doesn't do that. Paul is always positive. Don't do that. Do this instead. So he says in Colossians. Did I say Galatians? I apologise. Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Think on him. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you, if you're a believer, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these too you once walked. This is how you used to live. You were like that. But now you must put them all away: anger, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So you put off the evil of your past, and you put on godliness and righteousness, to be like Christ, to follow in his footsteps. Because we are no longer what we were, we should concentrate on being what we have become, and what we should increasingly become in the likeness of Christ. So we need to have renewed thinking. We need to change our minds concerning that which is past, to recognise that the way in which we used to live was sinful, and to see that there is a new way in which we should live, to fill our minds with God's truth, to fill our minds with righteous, godly thoughts, to think about what God has done for us. New thinking, which will help us to develop new character and a growth in grace and in holiness and in righteousness. Put off the old self, put on the new. So resolutions are not merely about putting off bad habits, stopping bad habits. I'm sure we all have bad habits. Some we might think are worse habits than those of other people, but we all have bad habits. And these are things that we should put off. But rather to cultivate within ourselves Christ-likeness. Think about how we can become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, puts it like this: let the thief no longer steal. Put off. Stop stealing. If you're a thief or you used to be a thief, stop stealing. But it's not merely that negative. There is not a full stop. There is a comma. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labour, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So that is but one example. The thief used his hands in the past to steal that which was not his. Now Paul says, instead of using your hands for stealing, use your hands to do something positive, to be helpful, to be useful. Now, I'm assuming that most of us, I might be wrong in this, but I assume most of us are not thieves and have not been thieves in the past. But there are things in your past that you have done that you now regret, that you are now horrified to even think that you did those things. When you did those things, what part of your body or your mind did you use to do those things? Now think how you can use those parts of your body or your mind in a positive, godly manner. Put off, put on. Do not continue to walk in unrighteousness, but rather to walk in righteousness. Put off sin, put on righteousness, and seek to live like Christ. So, if we are going to be God-honouring in the resolutions we have made, we need to be specific. We need to be constructive, and we need to think about others. We shouldn't only be thinking of ourselves. Obviously, we need to think about changes we might want to make in our own hearts and lives, but we should be thinking outward to others. Do not become self-centred. Do not think only about yourself. Think about, what can I do for other people? How can we help other people? How can we do things that are for the good of other people? And there are all sorts of different ways in which we can live that will be of good to others. So this is a way in which we can grow in grace. Helping people, preaching the gospel to people, talking to people, helping them, comforting them, and all sorts of things that we can think of. These things all to be done because of God's grace towards us. We are forgiving of other people because we have been forgiven. We do not always think, oh, that person has injured me in some way. They have spoken against me. Doesn't mean you respond in kind. It means rather you respond with grace and kindness and you forgive them for whatever they've said or done to you and seek to do them good. So, how should we go about making a resolution, and how should we go about practicing that resolution? Remember that it's rooted in grace, the fact that God has forgiven us our sins, not because we are worth it, but because of the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and lived and suffered and died for our sins, in order that we might be forgiven. So remember always grace. Remember the fact you are a sinner and you continue to be a sinner, and sin continues to try and trip you up. Sin continues to try and lead you astray. You must always have this in your mind, because if you forget about that, you will find yourself tripped up by sin and falling into sin, and one day you'll be horrified to see how far you have fallen back into sin. So focus on the fact that you are a sinner and you are in constant need of the grace of God. Recognize you are dependent upon the power of God, God working in your heart by His Holy Spirit. Recognize that you will want to do what is right, and sometimes you do not do what you want. You recognize you've sinned. Turn to Christ. Always turn to Christ. Look to Christ. Look to the one who loved you so much, He came and suffered and died to pay the penalty for your sin. Beware of being over-optimistic in any resolution you make. You might say to yourself, I am going to read the Bible 10 times this year. And after you've got to Easter and realise that you've just about managed to get through Genesis, and you recognise you're never going to get through the Bible in 1 year, let alone 10 times in 1 year, don't be foolish in making a resolution. I remember many years ago deciding how much I wanted to grow in grace. And looking back now, that was foolish. I was a young believer. I think I'd been a Christian about a year at that time. And I said that I was going to be the most godly person in the world. Well, now I look back and I can see that I am still a very long way from being the most godly person in the world. The most ungodly believer in the world, perhaps. But certainly not the most godly. I have a long way to go. Thankfully, I am received by God on the basis of grace, not on the basis of how hard I've worked or not worked, but on the basis of His grace. He receives me on that basis, not because I'm worth it, but because the Lord Jesus Christ is worth it. And so we need to pray about this constantly, asking God to help us in achieving our goals, asking God constantly, am I seeking to do the right thing anyway? Are the things that I have said I'm going to do this year, are they wise things to do? And you might realise, no, that was not a good idea. But you might also continue to work away at what you have resolved, and after 3 months realise that was not a good idea. But constantly to be praying, Lord, help me in achieving these goals. Help me to do what I believe is the right thing to do in this circumstance, in my life. And Lord, if I'm wrong in that thinking, please make me aware of it and show me a better way. Paul writes to the Philippians, and having talked about the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ and then His exaltation after the cross. Therefore, my beloved, Paul writes, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in with fear and trembling. And so many people stop there and say, you see, it's all up to you. No. Paul does not stop there. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. That's Philippians 2 verses 12 and 13. We work, yes, but we work because God is at work within us. So we know that our effort is not in vain, because it's God working in us to produce increasing godliness. Calling upon God always for assistance and help to live in a godly manner. It's not because we have worked well, but it's because of God's grace at work in our hearts. So our goal is not self-improvement. You can buy lots of books written by unbelievers about how you can become a better person. Books on self-improvement. All sorts of books. They do not bring in the gospel. And books on self-improvement, I think, are somewhat depressing, because people read them and they think, well, I've tried that and it doesn't seem to have worked very well. Or some people start preening themselves and say, aren't I wonderful? Because look at what I've achieved. No. We seek to live a godly life. Because one day we will leave this world. And John tells us about that in his first letter, 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. We are not yet perfect. We are still in the flesh. We are still living in this world. But we know that when he, the Lord Jesus, appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Glorious thought that one day when we leave this world, we will see the Lord Jesus Christ. We will see him in all his glory. And when we see him in all his glory, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be like him. What a glorious thought. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Part of the motivation for living godly life is to know that we are going to be like Christ, ultimately. Not in this world, we are still sinners, but we have the strength of the Holy Spirit at work within us. We have that hope laid up for us in eternal glory. We know that God is faithful and loving and merciful and kind. And however much longer of life he has to give us, we know that he will be faithful, merciful and kind towards us. And we can hope and pray that we will respond appropriately and live to his praise and glory, showing people what a godly life is like and having the opportunity to speak with people about how glorious it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a saviour from sin, who delivers us from the wrath to come and who will one day receive us to be with himself in eternal glory. Let's hope and pray that we have throughout this coming year such hope in our hearts, such a hope of future glory, and such a hope of a continued transformation in our lives as long as we are here.